The 100 Years' War, the Duguesclin period, the first parliament for King Richard II of England. Now, the first parliament of the new regime was to open at Westminster on October the 13th, 1377. It was perhaps inevitably affected by the unresolved tensions of the past. A large number of the knights of the shire who had sat in the good parliament were re-elected to the commons, including Sir Peter de la Mare, who was once again elected speaker. Their instincts were in some respects a reversion to those of 1376. Alice Peers was once again brought before Parliament to hear herself banished and her property forfeited. The Commons grumbled about Lyon's pardon, which they blamed on Alice. They procured the removal of their old enemy, William Latimer, and a number of his friends from the Continual Council. Their hostility to John of Gaunt was unspoken but palpable. The Commons' radicalism, like that of their predecessors, was founded on strong support of the war and a conviction that the ministers of Edward III had been half-hearted about prosecuting it. With memories of the French raids on the south coast still fresh, this proved to be one of the most warlike assemblies of the late 14th century. They complained about the decline of ancient chivalry, about the losses of the warrior class in France, about the end of what they supposed had been England's former mastery of the sea. They were merciless in their judgment of recent failures, which were inclined to blame this on the captains of the field rather than on their comparatively new ministers at Westminster. The defender of Andres and Audrec were tried in Parliament for treason and sentenced to death. They were only saved by the intervention of John of Gaunt. The real test of the Parliament's support for the war, however, was its willingness to pay for it. Richard II had inherited an empty treasury from his grandfather. Richard's ministers told Parliament that they needed no less than 400,000 marks, that's £266,666, to refill his coffers and prosecute the war. The Commons responded, as they had so often done, with suggestions that more money could be derived from the royal demesne and the church. They prepared a rather unrealistic table to show what riches these sources could be expected to produce, but they were finally persuaded to make a grant of 2/10 and 1/15. They were declared to represent 2 years' worth of direct taxation, but they were to be collected in one payment by February the 2nd, 1378. It was less than the government had wanted, but still the largest single tax payment which the Commons had ever authorized. True to their instincts, the Commons did not trust the government to spend it well. They made a condition of the grant that the entire proceeds of the 10ths and the 15ths, as well as the wool subsidy and the clerical 10th, should be paid to 2 special treasurers acceptable to themselves, who were to make disbursements only against warrants from the military expenditures. William Walworth and John Philpot were the 2 appointed to perform this office. They were both prominent London financiers who were among the members sitting of the city in the Commons. Walworth was former mayor who had made his fortune in food and wool merchants. Philpot was a rich and well-connected grocer. Both men belonged to the well-organized group of Calais staple merchants, which had dominated the city's government for years, and had a direct interest in the policy of concentrating resources on the war at sea. In the first 3 years of Richard II's reign, about 3/4 of the total receipts of the English state passed through their hands and were applied to war purposes. This was a substantial increase on the proportion, generally about 60%, which had hitherto been normal. It was achieved mainly at the expense of the royal household and the ordinary internal administration of the country, both of which were severely squeezed. The absolute sums involved were high by historic standards. Between December the 14th, 1377, when they took up their functions, and February the 4th, 1379, when they delivered their first accounts, the special treasurers spent £145,651 on the war, the largest figure for any comparable period since 1370. For a brief period, England was able to spend money on the war at a rate not far short of that of what the French were spending. So we finally get a little money coming in here. But can they use it effectively? That's the next point. Now the sources for this, the Hundred Years' War, The Chronicles by Froissart, the Hundred Years' War by Perrois, the Hundred Years' War by Nylans, and the Hundred Years' War, The House Divided, Volume 3 by Sumption. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com, or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.